Welcome to the Litigation Finance Podcast. I'm your host, John Freund. This podcast is brought to you by the Litigation Finance Journal, the only dedicated news source to the litigation finance industry. Please visit www.litigationfinancejournal.com. Our guest today is Grant Farrar, founder and managing director of Aron Capital, the first specialized litigation funder to focus solely on public sector financing. Prior to founding Aron Capital, Grant served as general counsel to public sector consultant GovHR and chief legal officer for the city of Evanston, Illinois. Grant, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, John. Great to be here with you today.
Yeah, great to have you here. We're going to talk public sector financing, which is a really interesting and growing trend within the litigation funding community. Let's start with brass tacks. What makes litigation financing for public sector entities so unique? Why does this type of legal funding merit its own differentiated category?
Well, John, in terms of public sector affirmative litigation, one of the undeniable and very interesting trends that is going on across the country with every shape and size of jurisdiction is the uptrend in affirmative litigation. So it really started off with, as you recall, the tobacco litigation in the late 90s, early 2000s, and now has evolved into some different issue areas. So it could be public nuisance relative to environmental or other quality of life issues that affect constituents around the country. It could be the opioid litigation, which everybody is very familiar with. A related offshoot of that would be the Juul litigation, which is being maintained right now, and a whole host of other issues that relate to consumer fraud or antitrust. One of the things about public sector entities is they are at the intersection of every piece of public policy and business. So the legal staffs, both in-house and then the external law firms that assist those entities, they're dealing with and touching cases and matters that are of every shape and size across the country. And as litigation continues to increase, certainly in the time of COVID-related budget strain and stress on entities across the country, the core issue of, okay, how do we find funding and how do we pay for this legal representation is certainly at the forefront. And this is where Aron Capital comes in with our value proposition that we're really excited to talk about a little bit today.
Yeah, and let's focus on the industry first. I definitely want to get to that value prop, but in terms of public sector financing more broadly, what are some of the key drivers of growth that this sector of the industry is facing?
So in terms of the strain that is calling for creative and innovative financing solutions, it really boils down to a concept which is being discussed in public sector circles with respect to rethinking revenue models and finding ways to generate revenue in different and creative ways that will assist public entities across the spectrum. So one of the drivers on that is chief financial officers in public sector organizations and their chief legal officers that work hand in hand along with obviously the electeds who set the policies. They're all dealing with these challenges and they're coming to the realization that it's more than just across the board budget cuts or trying to lean operations. And they're trying to find different and creative ways to manage that revenue strain while also dealing with the growing expectation and the demand on behalf of their constituents and their public sector leaders for affirmative litigation to address key issues. And I guess at top of mind would be in terms of a driver of affirmative litigation in the public sector entity arena is the concern over PFAS or PFAS in water systems, as I'm sure some of the listeners today might have seen the movie Dark Waters. This is a very emergent issue across the country with states and counties and cities and water districts and airport districts having to grapple with this legacy chemical that is going to have to be remediated. And of course, in the case of pollution, somebody always has to pay. And so the public sector entities are looking to potentially responsible parties under applicable state and federal environmental statutes and seeking recourse. But of course, when you're going up against highly capitalized multi-billion dollar corporations with the finest AmLaw 20 or AmLaw 50 lawyers representing their issues, their interests, you certainly have a financial crunch. And this is where public sector legal financing can come in and assist those communities with those issues.
What are some of the challenges when it comes to actually partnering with PSEs? So, like, I know that, you know, when it comes to corporations, when litigation funders have been looking to partner with corporates, you know, it's been a very long road to convince those CFOs and in-house counsel that their revenue, that their specific department should be considered a revenue generator as opposed to like a cost center. Just that mindset shift is something that a lot of funders have talked about. Is that a similar issue that you face with PSEs? And can you also maybe mention or talk about the potential for headline risk? I just want to know how that plays into all of this, because, you know, we are talking about politicians here. Are they skittish about partnering with sort of a nascent industry like litigation funding? Does that come into play at all?
Sure. So with respect to getting comfortable with the concept, at its core in terms of public sector affirmative litigation, it's very similar to the core considerations and issues for commercial litigation financing. It's about access to justice, and it's also about upholding the rule of law. So if you think about the fact that everybody, no matter their political persuasion or their involvement with government, they're a citizen of somewhere in some place that has issues that need to be represented in court and requires competent legal representation, be it in-house attorneys in the case of some instances, or external law firms with a public client practice adequately and effectively representing those interests, which of course requires some amount of capital to maintain those interests effectively. And in terms of the education and bringing awareness and generating comfort with those actors, sure, it's the same road of introduction, education, and execution with public sector CFOs and chief legal officers as it has been on the private side. But remember, governments of all sizes, they monetize assets all the time. So it's our view that monetizing a legal asset is no different than monetizing some other asset of in the public realm. And making sure that the benefits that are explained competently and accurately to all actors is another key part of this process. In terms of working that angle through of introduction and explaining it further, we're certainly working with all the public sector organizations that have a national presence to make those contacts, to acquaint themselves with our ideas and our approach, as well as state and local organizations across the country. So it's all part of just the broadcasting the message, making sure it resonates, and conveying it accurately and efficiently. In terms of headline risk, that is a very good point, and I think that's possibly one of the reasons why this area has not generated the interest and the involvement up until this point, because there are folks in the industry, litigation finance industry, that don't quite understand all the different points of potential friction and all the, but also the corresponding points to leverage within a public sector system amongst the different levels of government, the different actors of government. So it's a long process. It's something that we've been undertaking for some time now. And what we're really excited about seeing is how this is beginning to resonate across the country.
Yeah, you know, in thinking about it, it seems like you have two different groups that you have to convince about the merits of litigation funding, right? You have the public servants themselves, and then you have their constituents, the general public, who they answer to. Is that how you look at it as well? Are you targeting both of those different groups? And if so, how are you balancing those PR concerns?
Well, I'll give the good lawyerly answer. It depends. And the reason why I say it depends is it obviously depends on the jurisdiction. It depends upon the involvement of the electeds on legal issues and legal framing. It also depends on the involvement of the citizens. And each of those, you know, different interest groups, focus groups, as you will, they will have different points on the compass in terms of how they look at these issues, debate them, and approve of them. At the end of the day, with public sector litigation, it's always having to be approved publicly in some way, shape, manner, or form, which can depend on, you know, the jurisdiction's specific requirements. So it's always going to be evaluated in an open forum of some manner. And the possible concerns or the possible objections to litigation finance in the public sector arena, they're really akin to the same sorts of objections that were heard and, you know, in some extent still continue to be heard with respect to contingency fee work being done in the public interest. And there are ways that certain jurisdictions that have concerns about that, they can either negotiate certain caps on fee recoveries, which would have a roll-on effect to a litigation funding contract arrangement, or they can just address it in other areas with respect to a review and approval process. So in terms of talking these matters through, again, I'll take it back to, it's just a matter of sitting down, listening to the concerns clearly and forthrightly answering the questions and detailing the possible benefits and how the value proposition impacts positively, in our view, the way forward for affirmative litigation.
Let me zoom out for just a moment here, and I want to ask about just the market size of public sector financing. How large, in your opinion, is the total addressable market for this? How are you going about assessing that number? And also, what's your competition like? How many other funders are already operating in this space? Can you give us some idea of the numbers there?
Sure. So in terms of the total addressable market, I think that is an interesting issue that is being grappled with by the litigation finance industry as a whole, in terms of where funders see market size and market share unfolding in the years to come for sort of the bread and butter that's commonly accepted in the industry, with be it patent litigation or B2B litigation. But if you use the rule of thumb, which has been expressed in other venues and, you know, at some of the standard conferences that consider this topic, they think that about 2-4% of the total litigation spend in the United States could be addressable in a litigation funding context. Now, one of the data points that we can look to is the United States Census Bureau Survey of Local Governments, which their numbers are a little fungible from time to time, but it estimates total legal spend in the public sector somewhere on the order of 9 to perhaps a little over 10 billion. So as a rule of thumb, if you want to extrapolate out and down to that number, a 2-4% standard, then you could be looking at a total addressable market of somewhere in 200 to 400 million in publicly disclosed legal spend. But one of the interesting things is, a lot of times, based upon our understanding and our own experience with litigation in the public sector, the expenditures that may be expended by public client law firms or law firms that are working for governments, they may not necessarily be captured in that basket. So it's a data point or a series of data points that we're continuing to work on and flesh out in more detail. But I think also very similar to the industry writ large, the analytics are still constantly evolving in order to figure out market size. Turning to which funders or which entities may be in the space with Aaron Capital, one of the interesting things along this journey that we began on almost about 2 years ago when we started developing this concept, John, was who else is in this space and who else is doing what we seek to do. And it's our understanding that really nobody is, at least nobody with a specific concentrated focus on the public sector. And that could be for a whole host of reasons. But obviously, at the end of the day, it's all about executing on the concept. And even if somebody or some group may have thought of the concept, it's all about executing. And with our experience and with our networks, we're confident that we have the ability to be a first mover in the market and really work things through on a more expedited basis. Now, that's not to say that there haven't been entities that have been involved. We're certainly aware of that. But in terms of a consistent, targeted approach to this very highly specialized part of the market, we're not aware of anybody yet, other than ourselves, of course.
That's great. That's a great position to be in. What about COVID? Let's talk about that. What has the impact been on public sector legal requirements from COVID, from the ongoing lockdown? Can you speak to that for us?
Sure. Well, it's going to continue to unfold as court systems hopefully get back up and running into more of a normal basis. Public sector affirmative litigation that may have been filed last year, it's probably sitting on a shelf waiting for the appropriate attention to be turned to it. In terms of the revenue impacts affecting public sector affirmative litigation, I think we've already talked about that a little bit, but simply put, in cases of revenue decreases and ongoing budget dislocation that will continue to unfold, it's going to be very important for CFOs and CLOs on the public sector side to look at avoided exposures or deferred litigation and come to approaches and solutions on how to fund that. And I think that's where Aaron Capital can certainly come in and assist in that respect. Other impacts, you can think about the fact that there's the unfortunate prospect of COVID-related fraud on taxpayers and government entities, which you're already starting to hear about in terms of the unemployment claims fraud that are unfolding. There's going to be a whole host of issues, I think, that impact taxpayers and governments, and with False Claims Act statutes on the books, governments across the country, of every level and consistency, can avail themselves of that and work things through to benefit taxpayers. There may be some escheat actions. I know that in the past, the state of California was very active in terms of going after prospective revenue that was due but just had to be collected. There may be other issues that percolate in that respect or around the country. And it's going to be a situation that is going to be constantly evolving, I think, as hopefully COVID-related shutdowns ease and the work of public servants can hopefully be oriented towards more of a future-based approach as opposed to, unfortunately, responding to the public health crisis on a day-to-day basis.
So final question here. ESG, this is a hot buzzword at the moment, all across the investment landscape, and all, across Wall Street. This stands for environmental, social, and governance, also known as impact investing. The idea is that investors are starting to look beyond just profits at how the companies they invest in are impacting across those various metrics, the environment, social, and governance issues. So a lot of institutional players for that reason are starting to mandate ESG allocations from their partners. How could this trend impact public sector financing?
Great question. Great you asked that. So obviously, even just this week, you see the largest asset manager in the world speaking to the tectonic shift in the investment space with respect to funds flowing into ESG-related investments and ESG-related approaches. And at Aaron Capital, we view ourselves as fully part of that component and part of that wave. Because if you think about what ESG stands for, one of the core case areas that we seek to invest in is with respect to environment. So, those public sector, public nuisance actions. So investing with our fund that can then invest in cases that address environmental issues, that's part of that's part of our core focus and mission. Going to social and governance, it's also about investing in cases that promote access to justice for citizens across the country, and ensuring that citizens and their public servants have a role as constituents and representatives of government, having a responsive investment approach and a responsive and good outcome on the litigation side. So we're really excited about how we can tie into ESG. It's one of the main drivers in our value proposition and one of the things that we seek to focus upon and execute.
Yeah, well, all of that sounds great. And Grant, you know, this is a really, really interesting nascent field of litigation funding itself, a nascent industry. So it's really exciting to hear from an expert in it like yourself and someone who's leading the charge here. Like you said, a first mover. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your thoughts on public sector financing with us.
And thank you so much for your time. Really look forward to the conversation evolving and working with interested partners around the country to move the ball forward.
Absolutely. And if you're interested to learn more about what Grant is up to, you can visit him at the Aron Capital's website. That's www.aroncap.com. That's ARRANCAP.com. You can also check out a recent article that Grant co-authored with Ed Truant, founder of Slingshot Capital, and that's titled Litigation Finance Specialization, Focus on Public Sector Entities. It's in the Investor's Corner section of our website. It's right now the top article in Investor's Corner. So you can see that on the homepage there. It's publicly available. And so we hope you check those out. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the Litigation Finance Podcast.